Good morning, good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off a Field Podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. I think I've been bitten by the bug. If you hadn't got an opportunity, please go check out my special episode from this weekend called Get Free. And with that, I'm going to jump right into the topic of this week. So everybody is really invested in Insecure. It is on its fifth and final season, and I've heard interviews from Issa and Yvonne where they said that this season is going to upset some people. You know, some of the things that are going on in the lives of the characters and how they're interacting with one another. And although I'm not upset, I must say that Sunday's episode was a bit triggering for me. It was totally and wholly focused around Lawrence, and it kind of picks up where, and I don't want to give too much of the episode away, but it kind of picks up where Issa gets back from her Stanford University reunion. Lawrence picks her up and she basically says, you know, I've been thinking and I just can't, you know, a lot going on. And it kind of starts from that point. He was already planning on moving to San Francisco to take on this role with the company, I guess a promotion. And so it kind of picks up with him transitioning and kind of figuring things out, but also bearing in mind that Condola, who decided to keep the baby, is still in LA as well. And so trying to navigate that. And it was a bit triggering for me because I am the product of two young people who had a baby but were not in a relationship or were taking a break. To be quite honest, I don't even think I fully understand the mechanics of what was going on when I was actually born, not conceived, but when I was born. But I think if I'm being honest, they weren't together. And at the time, my father was away at school in Arizona. And so I came into the world, and then there were adjustments. But to just see what I define as discord between Condola and Lawrence, and the struggles that they were having, it was very, very reminiscent to some of the things that I experienced as a child, you know, things that I remember. I can't even speak for the things that occurred prior to me having knowledge of what was going on, you know, in the nature of their relationship, because this is the thing, things don't seem weird to you if it's the way that they are. So living with my mom and my grandmom and my aunt didn't seem weird. Not living with my dad didn't necessarily seem weird to me. You know, it's just what it was, because kids crave love, affection, and structure. And I had all of those things. So this is not I had a horrible life type of podcast. It is that there were definitely things that I saw in last night's episode that were very reminiscent to the things that I experienced going on between my parents, and some of it from, you know, what I know now and what I observed, and, you know, just being an adult and having conversations with my parents as man to man, man to woman, you know, just some observations I like to make about navigating that space, because it's difficult. I wouldn't say for a minute that it's difficult. There's a lot of belief that Condola is not a good person, that Lawrence is not a good person, that Issa is not a good person, and all of those things. But one thing that I will say that I admire about Lawrence in this situation is he really is attempting to be present in the life of his son. which is more than a lot of men are, you know? You know, I think that, you know, one might say that it would be better if he relocated to back to LA, but part of me is like, he finally is in his groove and he's working in the field that he wants to work. He's doing the work that he wants to do, and he's making the type of money that affords him the luxury to do some of the things that he's doing, like take care of his kids. So I don't think he can just easily renege on that move. I think it would create an issue for him in his career, it would stunt him. So I think he's really trying to work through that, you know, basically saying, hey, is there a way to adjust when there are appointments, because I want to be present, or I want to be here every week. I want, you know, he's trying to create a space and a home for his son in his home, you know, that the eventuality of him someday coming there and spending time with him, or, you know, even the whole concept of him taking him for the weekend in LA, which means he's not too far for his mom. And I understand that when a kid is a baby and very new to the world, that there is an attachment that moms have. And especially if it's a situation where they're breastfeeding and different things like that, like you have schedules and things. But I was really saddened by the lack of, just the lack of communication between the two of them. It's almost like after the decision was made that Condola was going to keep the baby, that there was never another conversation. And so it's all of this new information. There was this assumption that I'm going to have to do this on my own, or that he's going to be maybe not completely absent, but definitely not always there. And I also believe that there was probably, you know, those are the assumptions that I think that Condola had. And then for Lawrence, I think it's a situation where, you know, he, you know, was actively pursuing being in relationship with Issa. And so he was never going to be a deadbeat father. I didn't think that was going to be the case, but I don't think he was going to be super present or super involved if he continued to pursue the relationship with Issa. So I just think that there was never a clear conversation about how things should work. And it makes me think about the countless situations that we encounter throughout our lives, the countless situations we see other members of our family encounter because of lack of communication. And then if there is a lack of communication, the unwillingness to literally go to the courts and through the courts and hammer everything out, which is ultimately the best way if two consenting adults can't sit down and figure out the best way to co-parent a child in an environment where they're not in a loving relationship with one another. Because at the end of the day, the child just suffers. You know, I have long forgiven the situations that happened in my childhood that required me to do some real work in therapy as an adult. And so there's no need to rehash those particularly. But, you know, the advice that I've always given single women who are mothers, because I think there is a difference, and I think it's worth distinguishing the difference between being a single woman or man and having a child and being a single parent, because it's not exactly the same thing. You know, if the father and or mother are absent, then you're a single parent. That's what that means, you know? But if they're present in the child's life, then it's not completely accurate to say I'm a single parent, you know? You're a single man and or woman raising your child, but you're not parenting that child alone. And I think that a lot of times in those situations, there is an ownership over the child that, like, this is my kid, you know? And because this is my kid, I make all of the choices and decisions about what's going on because they're primarily with me or whatever the case is. And I think that that's really unfair, you know? Although we find ourselves in situations where things are not exactly the way we envision them. I think a lot of people think that when they have children, they want to have children in a space where there is a mother and a father, or a mother and a mother, or a father and father, whatever the case is. They want to have a child in an environment where there are two parents in the household. And in situations where that's the case, everybody was raised a certain way, and you're trying to figure out a way to take the things that were instrumental in your life and the things that were instrumental in your partner's life and kind of marry the two so that you can come up with a holistic approach of raising and rearing a child in an environment that will be supportive of their growth and development. That's the goal, you know? And when you're not together, that creates tension in the goal, especially if the reason why you're not together is not an amicable reason. And also, especially if the other person is in another relationship and has a different family, you know, structure or whatever the case is. So it's a lot to navigate, but I think that the key of it is really having a conversation. And what I saw in that episode is that there was no communication about how we are going to effectively parent this child with you being here and I being there, and it being fair and equitable in terms of how we both get an opportunity to be present and to be there. You know, yes, we know that if you're the only parent in the house and you're with a young child, an infant child, you are definitely dealing with a lot more, you know, the not being able to sleep through the night, the sickness, those are things that you're seeing full time. But, you know, I don't believe that it's fair to punish the other parent because they're not necessarily in that space. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not adequately communicating to the other person the frustration or the fatigue or the tiredness associated with being in that situation, they really don't know. You know what I'm saying? They really don't know. It didn't help that she had a sister who only knows Condola's side of the story as it pertains to Lawrence. She did have a mother who was trying to be understanding, but, you know, even things down to the child's name, there was no consideration given to Lawrence. The christening, there was no consideration given to Lawrence and his family and what some of his needs might have been. You know, everything has been on Condola's terms. And I get that because I understand what it's like to be in a situation where you're owned. Like, I was my mother's property, in for lack of a better word. You know, I was exclusively hers. And anything that happened that challenged or she thought threatened her ownership of me created a larger issue. And that is definitely something that I had to deal with and reconcile with as an adult. And I don't think people always recognize and notice those things. The one bit of advice that I give to women who are raising children separate of the child's father is the importance of allowing the child to develop their own ideas about who that other parent is. And in this instance, I'm mostly talking to women. It's very rare that I find myself in a situation where I'm having a conversation with a single man or a man who is raising his child absent of the mother. Though it does happen, it's rare. And I can only speak from the perspective of being in a situation where the bulk of my adolescence, or pretty much until I turned 18, I spent with my mother under my mother's roof. And the relationship or the time that I spent with my dad, not the relationship, but the time that I spent with my dad was a weekend scenario. I would go over there on Friday and be there Friday, Saturday, come home Sunday. You know, it was never a situation where my father took me to school. All of that happened from my mother's home, you know? But on the flip side, when it comes to like birthday parties, my father threw all of my birthday parties. When it comes to doctor's appointments, my dad took me to all my doctor's appointments, my dentist appointments, my eye doctor appointments, my yearly physicals with the pediatrician. All of that my dad did, you know, which is not necessarily traditional. You know, I remember one visit where both of my parents were there is when I was very young. I had to have dental surgery. And of course, I was too young to be sedated or put to sleep. So I was awake. Definitely got some numbing and pain medication while I was awake. And both of my parents were there holding my hand while I cried, while they were cutting my gums open and pulling teeth down because my gums were too strong and my tooth couldn't break through. So it's after I lost my baby teeth, my tooth couldn't come through. So I had to have surgery for them. They literally sliced the gum and pulled the tooth down. And my parents were there for that. And that's the only time I remember that I have any recollection of both of my parents being in a doctor's office at the same time. Now, granted, again, there's a period of my life that I have no idea what was going on. So I don't know if they tried to do my wellness visits together and all of those things when I was first born. I have no idea. These are conversations and questions that I do plan on asking at some point, but I don't know. Like, this episode really, it really froze me, you know? And so I thought that it was good to come on here and kind of talk about it and talk through it, because that's what this podcast is and has been for me, an opportunity to kind of air out, kind of talk through some of the things that I'm thinking and struggling with and trying to figure out, in hopes that there's someone who's listening to this who is in a similar situation or understands where I'm coming from, or this, they can share this information with someone else who may need to hear it. So I guess I'll do salient points. Am I saying it right? Salient. I think that's the right way. I'm going to hit the main points of what I'm trying to say so I can get off of here and not ramble and waste your time. Communication is key. You know, there is nothing that, in an ideal situation, I think people would like to rear their children in a two-person household with the partner of their choosing. I think that's the ideal situation, but it doesn't always happen that way. So if that isn't the case, then communication is paramount. How are we going to navigate raising this man child, this woman child, getting them through this crazy thing called life and preparing them to be productive men and women in the world? You know, what are we going to do to make that happen? And if it's a situation where we can't come to any conclusion between the two of us concretely that is beneficial, then at what level do we get a mediator or some other entity involved that's neutral to ensure that we're making the best choices for this particular child? Because if we're not together, then that means that there's no way for us to come up with a good blend of what you want and what I want. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's harder to do that if we're not together. And if we're not interested, really interested in co-parenting, I think one of the interesting things that Condola said last night is that she's like, I don't trust you. And I think that that has more to do with him as a man and their relationship and less to do with him as a father and him and Jaw's relationship. And that's a whole nother thing. A whole nother thing entirely. The other thing I will say is, you know, trying to mitigate outside influences as much as you possibly can. You know, yes, your friends and your siblings and your parents who love you and want what's best for you are going to, you know, you're going to have those people in your life who are going to tell you what you want to hear. And you have those people in your life that are going to tell you what you need to hear. And sometimes you just want to hear what you want to hear and not necessarily what you need to hear. And that happens. And that's life. But, you know, canceling that white noise and not allowing people to influence your choices and your decisions. You know, one of the things that she said that I thought was important is when she was talking to her sister, she was like, you already don't like him. You're going to, this is just going to make the situation worse. You know, it wasn't for lack of trying. Sometimes you can't be there. And I know what it's like to witness someone being punished because you disagree with how they handled the situation or how they reacted to a situation. I always talk about this famous thing. The one thing from my childhood that I'll bring up is that for my 7th birthday, my father planned a party with a clown. And I don't know if it's, I think I always wanted a clown. It was a backyard party at my grandparents' house. My grandma made the cake, you know, the whole nine yards. And this birthday is particularly triggering or traumatizing because I watched it, but not as a participant, you know, as a bystander. And how the story goes is the birthday party was the day after my birthday. So my birthday was on Friday and my father didn't call. And because he didn't call, my mother made the decision that he didn't have the right to have a party for me. And so I packed a bag. It was my Alvin and the Chipmunks little suitcase. It was blue. I remember this. Packed a bag and went to my aunt's house, my mom's sister. And that's where I stayed that weekend. She didn't answer his calls. She didn't return his calls. And I guess she took me away because if he came to the house, she could be like, well, he's not here this weekend. And I remember her saying that. I remember her venting that she was very upset that he didn't call. And because he didn't call, you know, she thought that it would be unfair for him to then give me this birthday party and it all goes away. I don't even remember having an emotion about him not calling or being in anticipation of him not calling. And maybe I was, and maybe from her vantage point, she was thinking that, you know, you've hurt my son, and because you've hurt my son, I'm not going to allow you the right to smooth this all over with a party, because he was hurt today, because today was his actual birthday. But I'll be honest with you, because I wanted to spend time with my dad. I wanted to be with my dad. I wanted to see my grandparents. I want, you know, all of those things, because my mother, as far as I can remember, never threw me a birthday party. So that wasn't her thing. So if I was going to get a party, I was going to get it from him anyway. And, you know, I just wish that would have played out differently. I just wish that there was more communication. I wish it was a situation where she was present at my birthday parties, because from what I remember, she wasn't, you know, and from what is recorded, because my family is one of those families about, posterity. They put things on film and they record things so that you have those memories. I don't recall her being there, you know? So, the event, though, I think her intention was to punish him, really punished me. And when I did get an opportunity to watch the video years later, the only thing I felt was sadness for my dad. And I thought about how embarrassing it was for you to have this event with all of your friends and family, and, you know, it's still going on, and the brave face that he put on to have this thing, you know. And he's never missed a birthday since that day. He's never not called me on my birthday since that day. Never. it's the one thing that he will always do. He's typically the first message that I receive. Since my mother has passed, he's the first message that I receive, because before then it would definitely be her. But he's the first message that I receive, you know, to let me know that, you know, that he loves me and that he's thinking about me, you know. And he's very serious about that. He also doesn't miss a holiday. You know, he wants to talk to his son on Christmas. Those things are important to him. And I think, you know, some of it is just that scarring, you know, just that from that time frame. What I will say is that my father is resilient, and we never talked about that event until I was much, 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 much older, adult. And what he did is the other weekend, I went to the house, you know, during the normal weekend or whatever the case is, probably that very next weekend. And it was like a surprise party. He rounded up kids in the neighborhood, and we literally were in the back, and they sang happy birthday, and my grandmother baked a cake, and I blew out the candles, and it was great. And I got The Great Mouse Detective, which is still my favorite movie to this day, my favorite Disney movie, The Great Mouse Detective. That was my gift that year, and a bike. And those are the things that I remember. I don't remember him not calling, but I do remember missing that event, watching that event, and I definitely remember the save, because they made indelible marks on me. And I, you know, looking back on that event and looking at the situation from last night, all of those emotions kind of wrapped up, and I was like, fuck, you know. This is something that I've definitely talked about in therapy and worked through and worked out. But I did, looking at that last night's episode, I said, I really want to have a conversation with my father about my life before I was five, and what the relationship was and how things were and how they worked, because I'm just curious. I have managed to survive and deal and cope and process and heal from all of those situations. But I imagine that there are a lot of people who have not had that opportunity. In that episode last Sunday, that's the day that the show comes on, really kind of put me in a corner, made me reflective, and made me think about these things again. And I wanted to impress upon individuals who are raising children and not in a traditional situation where there's two parents in the household to really focus on communication, really focus on trying to be as amicable as possible. And if you yourselves cannot find some form of resolve, getting a mediator or the courts involved to make sure that things are fair and equitable in terms of how things happen in the child's life, because otherwise it becomes this contest between the two parents on who has the most authority, who has the most power, who's wielding it. And it doesn't help and or serve the kid at all. It ends up being pompous and selfish and inconsiderate. And in most situations, emotionally damaging. Then you become a 20 plus year old man in therapy, spending hundreds of dollars a month or thousands of dollars a year working through problems that predate you, and trying to figure out a resolve, and trying to learn how to be loving and forgiving and understanding of the fact that people are human and they make mistakes, even if those people are your parents. So that's all I have for you today. Continue to listen, continue to share, continue to like, continue to support. I can't make any promises to you of how this is going to work moving forward and what's going to go on. All I can say is that when I feel inspired to speak to you about something that I'm experiencing or have experienced, that's what I'm going to do. And I hope that people are accepting and understanding of that, and, you know, offer me a little grace. I'm on 10 platforms, so you can always find me. And I love y'all for real. Peace.